Psalms 119:24. Thy testimonies are also my delight, they are my counselors. Psalm 119:24. Very good. Spent a lot of time going through five different kinds of love. It's time for a little bit of application. And this is taken from Love Life for Every Married Couple. And that's page 164 in the fine print for those of us who can't see that small of print. First of all, steps to making agape a central force in our marriage. First of all, it starts out with choose with your will to love your mate unconditionally, permanently, through attitude, word, and action. Choose with your love. Choose with your will to love your mate unconditionally and permanently through attitude, word, and action. Two, develop the knowledge you need in order to do the very best for the object of your love. Developing your knowledge, what's that? Scripture. If we want to have the mind of Christ, we got to dig into the Word. If we want to know how to love our spouse, we need to dig into the Word. Apply everything that you know to giving agape love. Pour your life into it as if your life depended on it. Intimacy can be derived, or is derived, from the Latin word inmost. A state of being most private, most personal in relationship. It depicts for us a special quality of emotional closeness between two people in which both are constantly alert and responsive to fluctuations of feelings and well-being in the other. I say that again. Intimacy, derived from Latin meaning inmost, a state of most private, most personal in relationship, depicts a special quality of emotional closeness between two people in which both are constantly alert and responsive to fluctuations of feeling and well-being in the other. To achieve intimacy, then, is to have emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual touches. Again, of an Italian descent, touching is not something that's foreign to me. All right? We hug a lot. We touch a lot. In fact, I can get in trouble in the Navy because I touched guys on the shoulder and talked to them. Right? But it's part of what I do. It's part of who I am. For those of us who were raised in more of the, shall we say, British fashion, where there seems to be a little bit of lack of emotion, right? It might be a little harder to come to. But that spiritual, mental, and physical touching is what causes the intense intimacy. To achieve intimacy is to have emotional, physical, and mental as well as spiritual touches. So it stands that bonds of intimacy include, and this is a rather long list, so bear with me as I go through it quickly, physical touching of an affectionate, non-sexual nature, sharing feelings, closeness without inhibitions, absence of psychological defenses, open communication and honesty, intellectual agreement on major issues. That's why we can't be unequally yoked, because that which is spiritual can only be understood one way, through the Spirit. Saved and unsaved folks aren't intellectual equals. Which leads to the next point, spiritual harmony. Sensitive appreciation of the mate's physical and emotional responses. Having similar values held. Imparting of secrets. Now, does that mean you divulge everything that you've ever done your whole life? No, that's counterproductive, right? But imparting secrets induces that intimacy, that knowledge that your spouse could hurt you, but won't. Genuine understanding, and sometimes that is harder to achieve than we think. Mutual confidence, derived mostly from the previous actions we just talked about occurring, and repetition thereof. A sense of warmth, safety, relaxation together. Sensuous nearness. Sexual pleasures lovingly shared. Signs of love freely given and received. I don't know how many of you guys know sign language. Hey, Marty. This means I love you. Mutual responsibility and caring. Abiding trust. These are not all-inclusive by any means, but it's a goodly list of about 15 or 20 items that, if practiced on a regular basis, induces intimacy, which in turn brings that closeness. In general, intimacy consists of blending the five facets of love. It does not happen easily in marriage. And by the way, it's never automatic. W.H. Auden described it as not the involuntary results of fleeting emotion, but the creation of time and will. W.H. Auden. Not the involuntary results of fleeting emotion, but the creation of time and will. Many newlyweds set out determined to build intimacy because it's worth doing, because it offers a lifetime of rewards. However, they tend to discover marriage to be infinitely more interesting and significant a relationship than any other on this earth. What a discovery that can be. Time and will, however, must be joined with the knowledge. Biblically speaking, in the Old Testament, the Lord allotted an entire year of concentrated togetherness for newlyweds in order to establish patterns of intimacy that were intended to last a lifetime. Deuteronomy 24:5, and I'll put it up on the screen to save you flipping there. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. And gentlemen, cheering up your wife does not mean to tell her jokes. Rather, it is to discover what would be pleasing to her. Now, in today's economy, very few of us can afford to take a year off for honeymoon. Heck, we have trouble finding 1 or 2 weeks sometimes. But the principle still applies. Nothing is as important to the health of our marriage and to growth in oneness than to spend that first year in concentrated attention. To concentrating on knowing each other and to build an intimate relationship is pleasing to the Lord, first off. It takes time spent together to properly lay the appropriate foundations of marriage. It's essential that a husband learn how to meet his wife's needs. Notice how I didn't say anything about the wife in this. The wife being a responder has a lot easier time of it, I believe, meeting her husband's needs. If she's responding to the appropriate attention of her husband. Knowledge of one's mate is necessary in order to live according to biblical principles. You must know your partner in depth if you are to love, understand, help, and encourage them. Marriage mates are meant to be teammates, yoked together to serve God effectively. Becoming teammates takes time, cooperation, an atmosphere free from distraction as much as possible. Having played football, I can guarantee you that summer practice wasn't just about sweating on the field. It was about taking 20-odd individuals and forming them into a cohesive team, both offensively and defensively. I can tell you that boot camp or any other version thereof that you received in your military service wasn't about seeing if you were physically capable, really. That was part of it, but that wasn't the reason for being there. It was to take away your so-called rights, give them back to you as privileges, and turn the individuals into a team. Learn how to work together. Well, if the military takes so many weeks and spends so much money on a bunch of youngsters to teach them that, why don't we put the same emphasis on marriage? Rhetorical question there. If it was in the Greek, it would be left with no other answer but the affirmative, we must. Deuteronomy 24:5. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home a year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Marriage mates are meant to be teammates yoked together to serve God effectively, but it takes time. According to the Creator's wisdom, the first year is critical in any marriage and should be lived with care and forethought. Having said that, I imagine every one of us who's already married can look back and think, gee, I should have known a little bit more before I got married. And that's why my father cautioned me against getting married as a child. In fact, I set before myself the goal of being 30 before I got married and almost made it. I was 28 when I finally gave up and succumbed. But I'll tell you what, it's been well worth it. So now we're going to shift gears a little bit. And we're going to go and talk about Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:25. If you could all turn there. We live in a unique age, the church age. And as church age believers, we also have a unique relationship. Never before in the history of man have we been individual priests, able to go to the throne room of God directly, able to make our petitions known, able to not have to sacrifice animals as a picture of the atonement of sin, but be able to look back at the cross and see the finished atonement that Christ had for us. Also, as church age believers, we have a unique relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that even the Old Testament saints don't have. So in Ephesians chapter 5, let's start out with verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, subtitled, Be Imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Moving down to verse 22. Marriage like Christ and the church. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. And husbands, you're still subject to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Verse 24, but as Christ is subject to, as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. A charge I deem impossible in this physical sense. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Ladies and gentlemen, can we say the Old Testament saints are friends of the groom? Can we also say then that the bride of Christ, we are to look at the marriage relationship as a picture of what our relationship ought to be to Christ? We should be intimate with our Lord. And we need to work at that. Know and learn what he likes. Where do we find that? The Word of God. If you love me, keep my commandments in John 14, 15. And then again in John 21, verses 14 through 17. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. We should gladly serve him. He loved, agaped us before we even loved him. Taking a minute to go through a couple of verses besides Ephesians 5:25, Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Next in Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Colossians 1:8, he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for our brethren. 1 John 4:10, in this love, not that we loved God, but he loved us, sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:17, but this, love is perfected with us, so that we may be confident in the day of judgment, because he is, so also are we in the world. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Then one I learned as a kid, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. P.S. That's how we love our wives properly. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the love that we have for Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. How much are you, husbands, willing to give of yourselves for your wives? John 16:27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. In many of these verses, we're not talking about agape here. Agape would be an inappropriate application. This is phileo, love of relationship, belonging, loyalty, and care, a familial kind of love. In the marriage of the Lamb in verse 7, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to God for the marriage of the Lamb. This is Revelations. And I don't have the chapter, sorry. It cut out on me in my printing. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then fell to his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Whether we're married, divorced, widowed, or newlywed, whether we're too young to marry, we're close to marrying age. We need to serve our Lord. And in doing so, provide for a proper marriage environment. We can use the picture God intended of marriage relationship as a picture of how we should love our Lord Jesus Christ. As we observe the Lord's Supper every fifth Sunday, we recall with appreciation all that he's done for us. If he's willing to leave heaven's glory, become a man, die for us personally on the cross, suffer separation from his Father, take on his body our sin debt, now paid in full, how can we not love him with every fiber of our being? We, being imperfect beings, succeed as we should in marriage. We are witnesses both to the world, to our children, and I dare say even to angels in heaven. When we as imperfect beings fail what we should be in marriage, do we also set the mark showing especially to our children what we should be? And where we should be. As a closing thought, I want to put a couple of principles up. Principles we can apply. Nothing is as important as the health of your marriage and your growth in oneness. Make no mistake. Once you've made those wedding vows, that only begins the work. To concentrate on each other and building an intimate relationship that's pleasing to the Lord. This requires time spent together to properly lay foundations in the marriage. Number four is to the guys. It's essential as husbands. We learn how to meet our wives' needs. You got to know your mate in order to know their needs. It's necessary. Knowledge of one's mate is necessary in order to live according to biblical principles. You must know your partner in depth if you are to love, understand, help, and encourage them. Marriage mates are meant to be teammates yoked together to serve God effectively. Becoming teammates takes cooperation in an atmosphere free from distraction as much as possible. Take that time personally on a daily basis. I'm flying overseas, but I guarantee you when I make my layover in Amsterdam, my wife will get a call. And as long as I can make that international call, we will talk within that 24-hour period. According to the Creator's wisdom, the first year is critical in any marriage and should be lived with care and forethought. Those gentlemen thinking about entering into marriage, I caution you to take the time to think about the coming year and what we should and ought to be doing to get to know our spouse. And for the lady folks, we are imperfect beings and we have a lot of self-esteem that needs fortifying. And you can be instruments in that. There can be a wonderful sanctuary, not only in marriage, but in a home, if a marriage is worked at daily. Those are my closing thoughts. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's been but a short time looking into this, and there's so much more to be said. But Heavenly Father, as we go out from this place, the time to start acting on that is not now, but every day. And Lord, help us through our marriage to learn better how to love you, how better to serve you, how willingly to give of ourselves for your purpose, for your plan, for your will for our lives. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.